Let's get into it then.
All right.
Awesome sauce.
I ask that the gods and goddesses of our respective paths bless this circle so that we may be free and protected within this space.
And if you have this one word, pagan or paganism.
For the pagan community.
Exactly.
Right. The big umbrella.
And that was fucking fantastic.
The best podcast ever. Hey!
We're three pagans.
Exactly. We're three pagans.
And a cat.
And may the works this day be of the highest good for all present and those listening. So mote it be. The circle is cast.
Hail Dictinus. Grant us clear voices, strong sound, and good reads. If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Welcome to Energy and Motion, the 149th episode of Three Pagans and a Cat. Our opening today is courtesy of inventor and futurist Nikola Tesla. Thanks to Velocity Rose for our intro music. You can find more of their work at velocityrose.com. You may call me Ode.
You can call me Carr. I'm Ode's father.
Merry meet. My name is Quinn, Ode's mother. And I actually have an autobiography of Tesla that I have not read yet.
You should read it.
But I should read it. Because
it's
I
an
think...
autobiography of
no,
Tesla?
No, okay, a biography.
A biography.
Okay,
that was
I was like...
Those are different...
Yeah.
I always get those two mixed up. A biography of Nikola Tesla.
Okay.
He's a cool dude. You should definitely read that.
Oh, I love Tesla. I think he's very amazing. Had kind of a sad end.
Yeah.
But
that's the case for many inventors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does seem to be the case, doesn't it? They have like a kind of a tragic trajectory.
So let's do our housekeeping.
Do we have to?
Yes, every week we do this.
Okay, well, first we'll say Happy 4th of July.
All right, because we're recording on the 4th of July.
We're recording on 4th of July.
You will hear fireworks, and I'm not going to try to cut them out.
Yeah.
That's entirely possible. Our neighborhood has been shooting out fireworks for like weeks.
Days.
Yeah, for quite some time. Since Memorial Day, essentially.
Yep.
With a brief break in between of like a week.
So, happy Independence Day, America.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to do this thing better, shall we?
Yeah, infinitely, infinitely better. Because a lot of people are actually not doing the 4th of July this year because there were some mass graves of Indigenous children who had been taken to the...
In Canada, yeah.
Yeah, in Canada. And I think we had a similar program in the United States, but I think the mass grave they found was in Canada.
Yep.
Yeah, of children who had been taken to the... I forget what they were called. They
Re-education homes.
Essentially, re-education camps. I think their slogan was kill the native, save the man.
Yeah.
And what they actually did was, in many cases, kill children. So there are a lot of people who did not celebrate Canada Day and the 4th of July this year. So.
Yeah. The thought process is that there's close to 10,000 mass graves that they're going to
eventually
uncover.
Find.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the church has not... apologized, and so churches on Indigenous land in Canada are currently
protested.
Being set ablaze.
Ah,
wow.
There have been four of them that have been burned to the ground.
Yeah. Oh.
Can't say I'm terribly surprised.
Nope, not at all.
I mean, Independence Day, but it's also, what do you call it?
An anniversary of
colonialism? It's Colonialism Day.
Yeah.
So let's all acknowledge that and do better.
Yep.
Yeah.
So in terms of our housekeeping, it is the first of the month, so Carr, you have
a bunch
of names
for you. I do.
You do.
Crap.
You counted them earlier, so I know you were preparing.
So anybody who's waiting for nicknames, F off. I didn't get it done.
You're still waiting.
Yeah. Be patient.
Life has been crazy. So there are 44 kittens.
We love
I was
you.
About to say congratulations.
Congratulations, kittens.
No, we love you, kittens.
We do.
There are 30 cats.
Well,
and their names
cats.
Are... Abby, Amanda James, Anastasia Haley, Arcane Jill, Blue Moon, Cabra, Cheryl, Christine Phillips, Sinead Odinson, Cindy Barrick, Claire K.R. Miller, Dylan Newcomb, Elisa Durka, M. Talasavari, Hannah F., Jasmine Ray Bell, J.D., Coney Briggs, Laura Loki, Megan, Michael Adonazio, Rebecca Hillman, Rhonda Graham, Rodney Boyd, Sarah Odell, Shakora, Sora Koff, Squiggy, the Dryad, and Zivigs.
Thank you, cats. We love you.
Yes.
There are 85 hunters.
Oh, my God.
They are Alicia Marlowe, Alicia Noble, Alyssa Addy, Amy Martin, Andy Olson, Beck Blackwell, Ben Walburn, Brianna Beep Boop, Kara B., Charlene Hughes, Charles Howison, Corvus Flady, Cosmic Rose, Delilah Darge, Darren, Daughter of Oak, David Dashvi Keys, Disgruntled Honeybee, Elfwort, Alora Driver, Emily Griner, Emily Hall, Felicia Walton, Gary Bearstorm, Goddess Incognito, Haley Bourne's daughter, Heather Ellis, Heather Lewis, Hojin Ko, Jax, J.C. Helmer, Jaden Hill, Jenna Hutt, Jessica Jones, JoJo, Juniper Shadowcat, Caleb King, Katie Hare, Keelan Casey, Ken Hub, Kristen Hankins, Kai Oakenshield, Le Petit Poison, Logan Olofsson, Loriana Lee Knapp, Mach 2556, Martha Kirby Capo, Meg P, Megan Kipper, Melissa Gerben, Melkor, Meredith Kenton, Misha Magdalene, Moon Eye, Moonstone Stella, Olwen Crow, Pablo B. Fordor, Patrick Saylor, Precious Fire, Ray Lothrop, Rhiannon M. Gray, Rochella and Dashvid, Rana, Roanoke the Wiccan Wizard, Ryan Hopkins, Samwise the Blonde, Sarah Odinson, Scooby, Shy Bee, Sky Poyfair, Sloth, Sophia Duncan, Sprouty, Stephanie Edwards, Stevie Thompson, Studio Prey, Sean Ferrywater, Tanya Marie, Swan Ferrywater. What did I say?
Sean.
Did I say Schwan?
Schwan.
I think you just said Sean, but it may have been Schwan, like Schwan's the...
Right, well, because Schwan is... So I have a friend
okay. Who
used to be in a band, Schwan.
Right.
Who I would call Schwan.
I think that's what you said, yeah.
So,
okay, so go back.
All right, so Schwan...
No!
Swan Ferrywater, Tanya Marie, The Pirate Cove, The Sugar Maple Seder, Usha Ursha, Victoria Selness, Zakimi Kokora, Yellow Kiwi, and Zacchaeus.
Hello, Hunters. Thank you, Hunters. We love you, Hunters.
And you got a story in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
There are seven tigers. Carol Canals, Kirsten Gill, Crystal of Apothecary Tees, Nyx Fallingleaf, Raymond Stovall, better known as Jim Two Snakes, Tree Wizard Creations, and Weavers of the Web Aquarian Tabernacle Church.
That's our tigers?
Yes.
That's our tigers.
We love you, tigers.
Our leopards are. There are 14 of them.
14?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Akaneko 13, Chris Calobri, Elle Faithful, Ellen Veals, Finn, Gabby Gaberson, Gemma Atkinson, Kimberly Squeaky Reynolds, Kitty Robinson, Chris Mickelson, Luna, Mackenzie Boyer, Nicholas, and Nolan Hayes.
We love you, leopards.
Yes.
Our panthers are Allie Robinson, Elizabeth Bull, Melissa Negron Schilling, and QQ Ann.
We love you, panthers.
And our jaguars.
Jaguars.
Are Kirsten Ray, Amanda Hicks, and Justin Stanage.
And we love our jaguars.
We do.
All right.
Car, beyond reading the names of our patrons once a month, what do you do?
Absolutely fucking nothing.
I'm true. You do many things. They're just all at the tap room.
Right. So I run a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the COO of a brewery and do a lot of tap room stuff
and there's a
making stuff
and there's a pagan.
So every Sunday,
mm-hmm,
from noon until two, we have Communitas Paganas,
mm-hmm,
which is pagan community in Latin.
It's a hangout.
And it's a hangout. That's exactly right. Yep.
For people in the Kalamazoo area,
yeah,
of Michigan.
Or however
far you're willing to drive.
Right, yeah, exactly.
The area. It's on Sundays from noon to two.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Gwen, what is it that you do?
I am still writing my book,
mm-hmm,
Green Earth Witchcraft.
Coming along?
Sort of.
Okay.
And then I am also occasionally writing for Pantheos Pagan. But I did want to say that this upcoming Tuesday, when this episode
airs,
I will have had a surgery that Carter is going to be taking me to. It's an outpatient surgery kind of deal. But I would appreciate your
good wishes,
your candles, whatever, your energy, whatever you want to send.
Yeah.
Send Gwen the healing vibes.
Yes,
yeah,
please.
And the recovery vibes, because this... Because
that's pretty much what I'm going to be doing
the
next couple of weeks.
The surgery is going to take Gwen out for
a couple
weeks. So we'll see if she's going to be on the podcast next week. We won't know.
I'm hoping I'll
until
be feeling good, so...
Yep.
And hey, next week, a rare car and Ode episode?
Possible.
Maybe.
Who can say? We won't know until we
maybe go. I'll just sit down on the couch and
just
let
chill.
Y'all do it. Just chill.
She'll be like, no, I couldn't possibly.
No,
what I want to do is watch WWE wrestling. That's what I want to do.
That is what I want
to
do.
This is critical to my recovery.
Yeah, or anything with drag queens.
Yeah, you do tend
or
to watch.
Stargate Atlantis.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. Gwyn has a lot of media consumption that's a necessary part of her surgery recovery.
It's true.
Yeah.
So we'll see if she's available for our next podcast. But
that's right.
This week, I don't do anything except work at Valhalla and edit this podcast. So we can now wrap up housekeeping. We are house kept and
house swept.
So this is a partially requested episode. Ages and ages ago, someone asked if we would do an episode about ley lines. So we started looking into ley lines and we decided, yes, we would cover it, but that there wasn't quite enough there, we thought, for a full episode. So we've sort of expanded the concept of the episode to just different forms of energy and ways humans interact with energy and the movement of energy across the planet.
And honestly, whatever else happens to fucking come up.
Right.
During the course of this discussion.
Do we want to start with ley lines, since that's sort of the
yeah
inception point of this episode, I guess?
Yes, absolutely.
So ley lines, the concept of ley lines, is actually not as old as people think it is, I think. The term ley lines was coined in the 1920s by an amateur antiquarian, because at the time, archaeology as a field didn't really exist.
Yeah.
It was very much something that was done by amateur enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
So Alfred Watkins was one such enthusiast, and he wrote a book called The Old Straight Track, where he laid out his theory that a lot of the ancient monuments in Britain had been intentionally placed along these straight intersecting axes, these straight lines that he thought were
trade routes,
were ancient trade routes that the ancient Britons had established. And he thought they had done this by fairly sophisticated but ancient measuring and surveying methods,
mm-hmm.
That they had cleared large swaths of forest to do it, and that they had just sort of picked what seemed like logical straight lines to them and set all these things up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone at the time completely
dismissed
absolutely every element.
My understanding is very disappointed.
Yeah, he
that
was
people
canned.
Did not take him seriously, because I thought it was kind of an interesting concept.
It was an interesting concept. Yeah, it there's probably not a solid archaeological basis for it now that we have a field of archaeology that can study this in more detail.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things, it's very impractical to build roads in straight lines,
right?
Especially without as
there's
many
things called mountains.
Exactly,
and hills
there's mountains and hills, and you get these very steep grades that are difficult to traverse, which is why
right.
most roads sort of
perfect.
Follow the curves of the landscape
right.
instead of going in straight lines.
The Romans would disagree.
But actually, the Romans didn't even build perfectly straight
no,
roads.
No. But they did build a lot of roads in Britain, which is where Watkins' theory was really...
Yeah, Watkins thought that maybe the Roman roads in Britain had actually been built on the previously established ancient British roads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the reasons
yeah.
that the ley lines that Watkins proposed were dismissed. But the other reason
right.
was that at the time was the prevailing belief that the ancient Britons had not cleared forests.
Right.
That they had lived in natural clearings and in the forests, but that they had not participated in wide-scale woods clearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that hadn't started until the arrival of the Romans. Later archaeology would prove Watkins right on that count, that
mm-hmm.
the ancient Britons did clear forest extensively.
And the ancient Britons, along with other peoples, you know,
mm-hmm.
ancient groups, they did have trade routes.
They did have trade routes.
They did trade
and
amongst each other.
They were capable of this kind of sophisticated surveying,
mm-hmm.
which is another reason that he was panned at the time, because people thought, oh, the ancients were too dumb to figure out these
right.
straight line points from A to B, and so they couldn't possibly. So there were a lot of stupid reasons that archaeologists of the day told him that he was an idiot. Like I said, a few of his points have been borne out, even if the ancient trade routes hypothesis probably wasn't quite on the money there.
But he was in the right general area.
Yeah, he was thinking in the right way.
Yeah.
He called them lays or ley lines,
mm-hmm.
Because one of the things he noted was that a lot of the place names along these lines he was identifying
right.
included the word lay, which was an old Anglo-Saxon word for clearing. He essentially was calling them clearing lines, the
yeah.
lines along which the ancient Britons cleared large sections of forest to build roads.
Yeah, yeah. But again, he was unfortunately not taken seriously.
No.
And so it really wasn't until 1961 and Tony Webb,
yeah.
Who was part of the Earth Energy
Earth Mysteries group.
Who he took it from what was
fairly scientific.
A very grounded
literal Rhodes kind of concept to something that was more esoteric.
So Tony Wedd didn't think it was esoteric from his perspective because he thought the ley lines were not ancient trade routes, but still ancient structures for directing aliens.
Yes.
Like landing zones.
So Tony Wedd thought that the ley lines were directions that the ancients had created to show the aliens where to go.
Yeah, because, you know, ancient aliens.
But exactly, because he and the people who followed him and picked up that idea and ran with it for ley lines were proponents of the ancient aliens theory, which
that
is...
that Earth was seeded by aliens.
Or that aliens visited early in Earth's history and helped
create.
Us build megastructures, like pyramids.
We were not, you know, smart enough.
Exactly. It's the same old bullshit that caused the archaeologists of Alfred Watkins' day to tell him, the ancient Britons were too stupid for that.
Yeah.
Exactly. It just frustrates me so much. But I'm not going to jump on that horse again because I have said that in the past. But I really, the whole ancient aliens thing just kind of makes me a little crazy.
Yeah. So that's in the 1960s. That's where ley lines gained some new life.
Yes.
For a time. And then they sort of died again in the 80s and 90s.
Well, I did want to say it did get expanded into this more esoteric new age understanding of energy.
Yeah, it got picked up by pagans, basically.
Yeah, well, it got picked up by John Mitchell in 1969, who wrote The View Over Atlantis. And he helped create basically a magazine and a group of ley line hunters, essentially.
Yeah.
And they tried to map out and they used divination techniques and all kinds of things to try to map where all these different ley lines were.
And the ley hunters groups did actually have some historical precedent because Alfred Watkins did have a handful of people who believed him and they started what they called the Straight Track Club.
Yeah.
In the 20s, where they were trying to identify more ley lines.
Trying to map it.
Trying to map them, yeah, doing some really sophisticated surveying of England at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they were shut down by World War II.
And I think we should also say that ley lines, basically how it came to be understood, would be straight alignments drawn from historic structures to prominent landmarks.
Yes. Through multiple historic monuments, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got Stonehenge and on a ley line kind of thing.
Usually the idea was that a ley line would pass through multiple structures.
Right.
And one of the reasons that archaeologists, both back then and today, don't have much stock in ley line theories, even as a principle the ancients might have been following, is that the structures that people identify as being on ley lines are all from different periods.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very rarely like all of these structures are Neolithic and they're all on one ley line. It's like, here's a Neolithic structure and a medieval church and
exactly.
A random rock outcropping that looks kind of cool and they're all on one ley line.
Yeah. Ley hunters, the ley line hunters, that group did start
to disband.
It sort of faded in the 1990s.
Yeah.
It faded out, and in fact, several of their key figures moved into folklore and landscape archaeology. They just moved into a different field.
They just transitioned,
transitioned to other things.
Because they were doing a lot of research in those areas
while
looking for ley lines.
But, yeah, exactly. So,
so they were becoming experts in these other fields.
But as you were saying, it's the reason we still have ley lines today, even though the kind of loose organizations that built up around trying to map them have basically disappeared, is because of neopaganism.
Swan says, well, anything can be connected by a line, and that's actually a meaningful point. There were some archaeologists in the 20s and 30s, I believe, contemporaries to Alfred Watkins, who basically... So multiple of them did this experiment in a variety of ways, but the one that really stands out is the telephone box lace, where a guy, an archaeologist, took a survey of all the telephone boxes in London and made ley lines based on just drawing straight lines between telephone boxes. And he was like, look, These were not designed this way intentionally. Yeah. They just put them where they wanted telephone boxes. The fact that they have straight lines is just random distribution.
Yeah, so it can happen randomly. And that has been proven.
Yes,
yeah,
statistically, things end up in straight lines just on a random plot distribution.
Yeah.
It's just, that's just how statistics are.
Yeah. And so today, most people in scientific fields consider ley lines to be pseudo-archaeology and pseudoscience.
Yeah.
Because it's really not based, at least not anymore, on the scientific method. And it really has transferred, I think, from what was originally Alfred Watkins' intention, which was something very real and very physical.
Something ancient people did.
To something that's much more esoteric and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that it's not valuable, that we cannot sense and experience energy.
Yeah, so this is what I want to talk about, I guess, is like, the Earth does have energy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Of a variety of kinds. So, Dad, talk about the magnetic anomaly thing you found.
Yeah, so there is a huge map that the United States Geological Survey has done over the water surrounding the U.S., contiguous, and Alaska. I don't think they've done Hawaii yet. You can see all of the energy as it kind of swirls around.
The magnetic energy that's part of the...
And it, oddly enough, lines up a lot with ley lines.
There's not like an archaeological basis.
Right.
For...
Yeah, or a scientific basis is what I've seen. There's not a scientific basis for ley lines having any kind of magnetic energy. But if you look at this USGS map and you overlay the ley lines on top of it, it's pretty darn close.
And that again comes down possibly to what you were saying about random chance.
Random distribution.
Random.
But I also wonder, like, when were those ley lines established?
Yeah.
Like, because there's no, like, council that decides where ley lines are.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, so was someone looking at this magnetic map and were like, well, a ley line should be here.
Yep, right.
A ley line should be here.
Mm-hmm. And, like, honestly, I'm going more toward the esoteric spiritual end of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we could, you know, yes, the world all around us is all about energy.
Mm-hmm.
We are all about energy. We got energy within ourselves.
Which we'll get into
in
more detail later.
We experience the energy of natural objects and nature.
And it does make sense that we would be building significant structures in places where there was high energy.
Significant energy. I've never been to Stonehenge, but my understanding from esoteric groups who have been there, it is very much, especially on the solstices, which is when purpose seems to be aligned for one of its purposes, because we don't really know what it was for.
Right.
There's an intense energy that people experience there.
Mm-hmm.
Or even when I've heard people saying, even when just any time of the year, you experience this sense of energy in this place. The same can be said in Sedona, Arizona. It has an energy to it.
Right.
But we can also go to various forests and various places all over the world where people experience a high degree of energy.
Heightened energy.
Because those are where holy places tend to be built.
Because you can sense energy if you're paying attention and if you're aware of that.
Yeah, if you're aware of it, you can sense it.
You can sense energy sort of anywhere you go and sense it in as having different qualities, right?
Exactly.
But there are places that have more intensity of energy.
Exactly.
And sometimes I think that's because of the energy that people bring to it. Like, I've been in some churches, especially older churches, that just have a lot of built-up energy from people worshiping in them for, you know, decades or hundreds of years. But there are just locations that naturally have or seem to have a higher intensity of energy.
They're natural liminal spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sedona has what's known as a magnetic vortex.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
So basically, instead of the straight lines that you get in most places with this, in Sedona, it swirls.
Interesting.
And it comes to a point, basically, at the town of Sedona, where there's no magnetic energy. And it's just that little, like, pinpoint.
Like the eye of the
storm. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And, of course, I feel like if there is energy and you are sensitive to it, you're going to experience it. Not everybody is going to be sensitive to it. Everybody's going to experience it. And it could be that the natural energy of the Earth is creating a supernatural
these
spiritual energy, these spots.
Because we believe the Earth itself is and has a spirit. Yeah.
Yes.
So, of course, it is and has energy.
Exactly.
And that energy, human bodies have centers of energy where the energy is more concentrated. So it makes sense that the planet would too.
Absolutely. And I think that is, for me, you know, I'm not as concerned. I know some people are really into ley lines and finding out where they are. And so that doesn't, that really doesn't concern me as much as just the understanding of the spiritual nature of connecting to this energy.
Follow the vibes.
Follow the vibes. Absolutely. And there, you know, even though, you know, skeptics or whatever will say, oh, it, you know, it can't stand up to scientific scrutiny. Who cares?
It doesn't have to. It
doesn't have to. That's
the modern conception of ley lines as a spiritual phenomenon doesn't have to.
It doesn't have to, exactly. And so it connects to our spirit and to our personal energy on a different wavelength, if you will.
Although, as always, I do have to make an unfortunate Nazi caveat.
Oh, the Nazis. God damn the fucking Nazis!
This one's just a little aside, which is why I didn't bring it up until the end.
Right.
So, Alfred Watkins is the person who coined ley lines, but it was actually, in 1846, a man called Edward Duke, who, originally noted alignments between structures, and that was expanded on in 1909 by a German man named Wilhelm Tut. And what he called the holy lines, or the Heiliglanen, which were more religious and spiritual in concept than the ley lines of Alfred Watkins or the observations of Edward Duke. The Nazis, of course,
Nazis.
A few decades later, would take the Heiliglanen and expand upon them. So if you're going to pursue this concept, definitely stick with the ley lines idea and not the Heiliglanen. So the holy lines are Nazi propaganda. The ley lines are British archaeology turned spiritual.
Right. That's right. Just concern yourself with the energy of the earth. Forget the fucking Nazis.
Yeah.
Join our Tiger Kelly on a visit to Tree Wizard Creations, where you can find custom engraved creations for all paths. They offer unique gifts and tools for altar, home, practice, and family. In addition to their standard product range, they offer custom commissions. If you can dream it, the wizard will create it. Contact them at treewizardcreations@gmail.com or follow them on Facebook, or you can find them online at treewizardcreations.com. That's TREEWYZARD creations.com. Or, as Carr likes to say it most of the time, Twee Wizard Creations!
Hail Dictinus.
I wondered if you saw that. Because Al said it in the,
no, I didn't.
In the Discord.
Oh my gosh. I like Twee Wizard.
Twee Wizard! So, the magnetic healing thing.
Yeah, so.
Tell us about the magnetic healing thing.
Well,
Carr.
It's the, like, copper bracelets and the magnetic healing bracelets.
I've only ever seen them personally at, like, psychic fairs.
Yeah.
I don't know. They advertise them on late-night television.
Do they?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That's true. Does that include magnetic hematite?
No.
No.
No. Magnetic hematite's faked anyway.
Yeah.
Not true.
It's iron. It's more iron.
That's true. I didn't know if it was included in the healing magnetic
stuff. I don't know. I don't know if it is, but I usually see them as, like, bracelets that you can wear.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that.
I've seen them not even just at psychic shows, but like at any trade show.
Yeah.
Like where you can buy stuff.
Hilo Kiwi says Home and Garden shows have them.
Yeah, Home and Garden.
Yeah.
So tell us about them, Carr.
Well, I mean, I don't know tons about them. I don't know that they work. People swear by them.
Yeah. So,
What
is the concept?
The idea is that, like, your body has its own
magnetic resonance.
Yeah, like its own magnetic fields and energy. And so, like, the idea is that, like, when it gets out of whack, that's what causes, like, chronic pain and stuff.
Mm.
And so the idea is that if you wear a magnet, it, like, resets your magnetic energy somehow.
Is that, like, along the similar lines of, like, Reiki and aligning your chakras and aligning your energy centers?
I think so, but it's more... So, like, Reiki is, like, a very, very spiritual, dealing with spiritual energy. And the magnetic healing is supposed to be dealing with, like, your cells.
Okay.
And
like,
the
literal
magnetism in your physical body.
Gotcha. Well, there are people who don't believe in it, but there is acupressure. Does it take Does it use kind of
No, there's
pressure?
No pressure stuff
no,
at all. It's just helping it flow through your body correctly. They actually also make a magnetic wire that you can wrap around your plumbing pipes
mm-hmm.
or around your electric coming in. And it's supposed to make you get better savings on your electric bill or make your water taste better.
Weird.
Neither of which seem to actually work.
No.
I have to think I agree with Rand and Gray. 98% sure it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
this snake oil.
It's one, if you take fridge magnets to your forehead, please send us pictures.
Yes.
I looked this up on WebMD, and WebMD is basically says no studies have been done.
Yeah.
So we can't
yeah.
tell you that this is nonsense.
No.
Because no studies have been done.
No. But some people swear by this stuff.
Yeah.
But
and
that could strictly be a placebo effect.
Exactly. That's my thing, is it could be psychosomatic placebo effect. Kind
and
of
Swan, I know copper isn't magnetic, but mm-hmm. they somehow say that the copper bracelets do.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not completely copper.
Right. Maybe they're copper and have a magnet in them.
Right.
Who
yeah. Who
say?
Knows? Yep.
So that's the magnetic healing thing. I don't know that there's a lot of basis for it. Like I said, no studies have been done on this.
No. And that's, I mean, let's face it. A lot of alternative therapies.
Most of them, though, they've done some studies. They just haven't
studies.
Done enough studies
yeah.
to prove anything
yeah.
either way for therapeutic value.
Right.
But they've done some studies.
But like if you go to like acupressure, acupuncture,
yeah.
those have genuine benefits that have been studied.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so if you're
sometimes the benefits aren't as extreme as
right.
the promises.
Exactly.
But like the studies have found like, yes, if you do X for Y amount of time or in Z like
yeah.
dosage, then
yeah.
yeah, you will have an effect.
Yeah. And the same thing with herbalism. There's
mm-hmm.
been a lot of studies on plants and stuff because medicine, allopathic medicine, has been what it was created from
right. it's,
plants.
Right. It's
so
yeah.
they take the constituents and make medicine.
And make them into chemicals and then yeah,
there you go.
To refine them. The consensus seems to be like wearing a magnet won't hurt you at all unless
yeah.
it like fucks up your hard drives or something.
Unless you're wearing a pacemaker, then don't.
Right. If you're wearing a pacemaker, so they said if you're wearing a pacemaker or if you're pregnant, you probably shouldn't wear a magnet just in case.
Just
right.
in case.
And also don't wear one if you're going in an MRI machine or for an X-ray.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Any metal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the consensus seems to be like, well, it won't hurt you probably.
If you want to spend your money on one
right.
of these bracelets, you know, fine.
Right, exactly. Go
so
for
we
it.
Are not, but let's just be clear. We are not recommending
no.
this.
No.
The magnetic healing
no.
bracelet
no.
stuff.
No.
If you want to use magnets in your practice, that's
mm-hmm.
mine. I think magnets definitely have value as a spell component sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think they're gonna.
No. I don't know that the you know magnetic healing
but
is,
not a magnetic
is a useful.
No, but I figured we should cover it since we had just talked about the magnetic fields of the earth.
And we
like,
do, well,
and
the earth does have
exactly.
magnetic.
Well, and humans are affected
yeah.
by
we
magnetic fields and everything.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see the logic that took people to like magnets to fix your
everything.
Broken magnets.
Right.
But I don't
mm-hmm.
think it actually
yeah.
does.
Okay, so let's talk though about energy in human beings.
Yes, energy centers.
Yes, because we do have energy centers.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you believe those are literal energy, like, you know, copper top battery,
right.
a la the Matrix.
Now, human beings do contain
do yeah.
energy.
Yeah.
It's even sort of electrical energy.
Mm-hmm. That's how our brain
exactly.
synapses work.
That's how neurons talk to each other
mm-hmm.
and fire and make brain things happen
mm-hmm.
is little electrical impulses
mm-hmm.
that are set by sodium ions, I think. So yeah, I mean, human beings have a lot of just physical, tangible
right.
energy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like powers a computer electricity.
Exactly. But what we're talking about is spiritual energy
mm-hmm.
of various centers. Now the idea, the concept of energy centers, of course, we've talked about this when we talked about chakras,
mm-hmm.
which is a much more complex thing than what Western
yeah,
society has made it.
I looked it up. So the seven chakras that everyone talks about are the seven main chakras
yes.
in most systems. But there can be up to 280
oh, yeah.
chakras.
It just depends on the system you're following. It's dependent upon which system,
mm-hmm.
and it's a religious spiritual system
yep.
that you are working with that defines the types of chakras you have and the how they
where
align
located.
And where they're located.
Yeah.
But it tends to be that they're connected to different parts of your body and which are then also connected to your spirit and to your emotions. And aligning these chakras helps you live a healthier, more
a better life.
You know, a better life, yeah. Essentially. But yeah, the seven main chakras that people hear about,
right.
You know, the crown, the third eye, the throat, the heart, the sacral, you know,
solar plexus. The sacral,
you know, those are the main chakras that people are talking about. And Western society has co-opted a lot of,
yes,
of chakra
concepts.
I tend to try to stay away from the chakra concepts, but I do acknowledge the energy centers that, you know, that they represent,
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say. Don't necessarily understand them the way
a Hindu person
yeah. might, because that's part of their religion,
mm-hmm.
and their spiritual culture.
Right. But energy centers more generally,
yeah,
are found in a lot of different traditions.
And yes, they are. And so energy centers, you've got a lot of different cultures that have recognized that there are energy centers within the body that we can utilize.
Mm-hmm. I think you sort of defined the energy centers for you, didn't you, at some point?
I think so, in a previous episode.
Do you not remember what they are?
Well, for me, it's the crown, it's the third eye, it's the hands,
right?
It's the solar plexus or the heart,
mm-hmm.
and the feet.
Okay.
That's how I interact with the earth deities, accessing these energy centers,
right?
Kind of building up my, I don't know if you want to call it my energy body,
mm-hmm.
and then rooting into the earth.
Right. So connecting your energy to
the earth's energy. And the same can be done from the crown into the ether,
right.
To connect with deity, to connect with higher self, whatever you want to call it.
I personally don't use, I guess, an energy center system,
mm-hmm.
but I do, when I'm doing energetic work, feel energy sort of coalesce into specific
mm-hmm.
points.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I don't think of my body's energy centers in a coherent, structured way,
mm-hmm.
I still sort of sense the vibe,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for a lot of people who don't
follow a
specific structured system. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, auras are connected to our energy body.
Yes.
You know,
so talk about auras, because I've never seen an aura.
Well, a lot of people can perceive it, I suppose, if you can teach yourself
mm-hmm.
to perceive auras. I personally do not always see colors. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's colors associated with the auric body,
right.
and it will depending on what the color is, it can state what, you know, your health is, what your emotional level is, what your spiritual level is, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I only...
It's like getting a black belt in soul.
But I'm not, you know, that's not something that I see. I don't see auras in colors.
Mm-hmm.
What I see is the energy body.
Okay.
So I essentially see like a white light,
right,
around
just
people.
like a shroud,
and it's either very bright or dimmed, and that tells me where a person is at emotionally or spiritually.
Swan says, when I sense auras, they are in texture, like sticky or oily.
Yes, I understand that too. I have experienced that with my family. I don't experience it with a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
but with my family. But yeah, traditionally, people who can see auras, they see a color, they see the energy body
mm-hmm.
in various colors.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it may be layers of color, or it may just be one color.
Right.
And that's where that aura photography comes in. They have those cameras.
Yes. I'm not sure how that works.
I'm not sure how that works either. And I tend to, again, think that's
going
toward the...
I have big question marks on that
one. Snake oil sales going on there. But I put that kind of over with the magnetic bracelet,
mm-hmm.
you know, thing.
what are you supposed to be detecting here? And
yeah.
How are you doing it?
They, you know, it says there that it's energy. Well, essentially, the aura is supposed to be your energy body.
Right.
It's capturing the colors of your energy body.
But with what?
I don't know.
That's my question.
I don't know.
And if, like, who decided?
Exactly.
And how?
But there are people, again, who are sensitive.
Yes.
Who can just automatically or naturally see a person's aura. Or there are people who can be trained
yes.
to see
auras. Hypothetically, you can be trained to see auras.
Yeah.
I tried to learn and it did not work.
Now, sometimes if I tune in to, like, I don't see colors, but I'll get an impression of what a color might be sometimes.
Mm.
Like, you know, like
someone just has yellow vibe or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, someone has a yellow vibe. I'm not seeing yellow.
Right.
But I'm thinking, oh, this is kind of a yellow vibe.
Interesting.
That makes sense. But so really, you need to understand auras, you need to talk to somebody who actually experiences and sees.
You do experience and see auras, just not with colors.
Well, that's true. I guess
the aura is just the energy body. Whether you get it in full color or not is kind of irrelevant.
That's a point. So yeah, I do see auras. I just don't see them in color.
Original aura photography was created by a Soviet inventor.
Okay.
Named Semyon Kirilin.
And what was this person doing?
He was putting a electric charge to things and taking a photograph of what left it.
Okay, so he was taking a photo. So he was electrifying something.
Correct.
And then photographing the electric
discharge. The
discharge,
correct.
Okay.
Yeah, yep.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And so when energy healing and crystal healing and all that kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff came about,
mm-hmm.
a guy named Guy Coggins came up with the AuraCam 3000 using an algorithm to take aura photos to basically use the electrical charge that's in the body.
Okay.
And what it discharges out. Yep.
The colors.
So is his logarithm, is his equipment actually photographing the electrical discharge of humans?
Yes.
Okay.
That is my understanding.
Okay.
So,
okay. So that's cool.
And
I
now
like
he has the AuraCam 6000, which
ooh,
is the newest
ooh,
one.
More sophisticated.
Yep.
Sophisticated version.
Yep.
Elle says, just add 3000 to the end. Makes it sound more science.
Okay. So Magara says, I have synesthesia. And people tell me I see auras, but I'm pretty sure it's just my brain storing information.
Information color first,
oh, okay.
Because a lot of people, when I tried to actively think of their aura, I would just get a color they wore a lot or something.
Mm, gotcha. Yeah.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It's not something that, like, I tune into automatically. I don't see people's auras automatically.
Right. It's something you have to consciously
consciously be tuned in. My third eye, I have to have opened it. And
right. You have to be on.
I have to be on in order to experience this. Yes.
What was his name? Harry Houdini?
Mm-hmm.
Who could, like, take a punch to the
yes.
to the gut.
But he had to,
but
be,
he had to be on.
Yes.
If he did it when he wasn't expecting it, you kill him!
And that is what happened,
yep.
Sadly. You know, one of the things that we do as witches, as magical practitioners, mm-hmm. You know, for those who do practice witchcraft, is we do meditate
mm-hmm.
and we do energy work. We practice gathering our energy as part of meditation, or at least that's what I do.
Right.
Practice. And so,
and it's part of a lot of magic because you want to put the energy
exactly,
into work.
Because you are putting energy, your energy or the energy you're drawing from the earth or
and
the sky or, you know, a spirit ally, whatever.
And sometimes that energy is emotional.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're deliberately putting a specific emotion
yeah.
into a work. But sometimes it's more abstract than that. Like you're
yeah.
literally just, like you just
gathering
sort of
energy.
Sense energy
mm-hmm.
happening.
But then you learn to coalesce it.
Right.
Into, like you draw all, you know, you draw energy into your hand and you create a ball. With,
or you, yeah, or
hand.
You just shape it.
Or you just shape it.
Like
you know?
I usually don't like pull my energy into a specific point, but I shape my energy
exactly.
mantle into different forms for different purposes.
Exactly. I think we're saying the same thing, just in different ways.
I think we're doing slightly different
slightly
things,
different
but
things.
We're probably using the same techniques.
Similar techniques.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the idea, is that you gather the energy, whether, like I said, whether you're drawing it from the earth, you're drawing it from your own body. It's the same thing with making a shield. You know, you're expanding your energy to create a shield. You are going to work with energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a part of what you do.
You may be working with that energy more tangibly
mm-hmm.
if you work exclusively with physical components. You're
exactly.
working with the energy in those physical components. But ultimately, everything is or contains
yeah.
energy.
Yep.
Exactly. And so you learn to communicate from your spirit to another spirit. There's a plant spirit, a rock spirit, a you know, an ancestor, a deity. But you're doing that, I think, through energy, through your spiritual personal energy.
Yeah. Now, Winterwolf asks, what about physically moving objects with said energy? Telekinesis, in other words, legit? Question mark.
Well, I guess it depends on who you talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've never seen evidence of telekinesis that I found compelling.
Right. I have not seen like a pencil be moved or,
right.
or things. Now, if you look at a pendulum, you know,
right.
That could be a you know, unless you're going with the micro movements.
Right. I think it's the micro movements are driving the pendulum, which I don't think makes it less of a divinatory tool. Mm-hmm. I just think that that's the mechanism that it uses.
But I think it's either, I think it can be that, or I think it can be a combination of like a telekinesis, micro movements, whatever. I don't know. But I don't know that I've ever actually seen a legit, we can't snap and something comes to fly
exactly.
into our hands.
I've never seen in person that I could not prove was legit and not video fakery, not CGI, any evidence of telekinesis that I found compelling.
Right. Now, that being said, within someone's body, personal energy, it's not telekinesis, but I know that highly trained Buddhist monks.
Yes, they can alter like their heart rate.
They can alter their temperature. There are some people who believe that an ascetic who is very, very skilled and very trained
dedicated.
And devoted can levitate.
Yeah, I've never seen compelling evidence.
I've not
of that.
Seen compelling okay. evidence, but some people, there is anecdotal evidence
right.
of it.
So the amazing Randy,
uh-huh.
a
He's
stage
an atheist.
Magician and
okay.
atheist and skeptic,
okay.
has offered $1 million prize for many, 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 many years.
Claimed.
And nobody could claim it, and that was for telekinesis.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Like I said,
bending that was proven to,
yeah.
right,
to
yep.
be faked.
I've never seen any evidence of that I found compelling.
Now, the other thing, you know, like you see the games, light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some may say that if it's truly happening,
mm-hmm.
you know, could be a form of group telekinesis, like
right.
mentally lifting someone, you know, off the floor. But again, there's no real compelling action.
I've never,
you know, unless you're watching a movie.
Yeah, I've never in person
seen
compelling evidence of light as a feather, stiff as a board, producing anything other than the feeling of being
lifted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think it's something that's scientifically provable.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, I think it's scientifically
provable. It's just
yeah.
not scientifically proven.
Yeah.
yeah.
Anecdotal evidence, you know, people are going to believe what they believe or have whatever their experience is. You have, okay, I'm going to go into the haunted house thing.
Mm-hmm.
You do have, like, in a poltergeist situation, I have experienced this, where energy, some kind of energy, some kind of spiritual energy, you see things flying off a wall, or you see things getting knocked over, you see chairs getting moved. I mean, shit, just the other day, I told you that, you know, I had placed a vial of flowers by Hera, my statue of Hera.
Right, and they were the wrong color.
They were the wrong color, and I learned what the correct color was the day before, and I kid you not, both Jackson and I saw it. That sucker just flew off of the shelf that it was on.
Right.
And so I then promptly put the right colors on the shelf next to Hera. So yeah, I think there are instances of what you could call telekinetic activity, but I don't know that people can specifically make it happen. It's like, I'm not going to claim that people can bend spoons or move things with their mind.
Or start fires.
That's all movie magic.
Yeah.
I've never personally seen that happen.
Pretty sure the lead singer from Prodigy can start fires.
But I have seen telekinetic activity.
No, you've seen poltergeist
activity. Okay, I've seen poltergeist activity.
Because telekinetic would be moving something with your mind. That's what it means.
That's true. So I have seen things. Okay, let's change it this way. I've seen things being moved energetically without an obvious source
right.
for its movement.
Just not by humans. Yeah.
It's commercial time with Randy Blumenshine, who smells like iodine and looks like Frankenstein. All right. Our tiger Jim Two Snakes has spent most of the past 3 decades providing spiritual and emotional support for individuals that are looking for accountability, wisdom, and safe, supportive space while they discover how to walk their own path. Jim is now offering his spiritual dad service in a Patreon structure. This informal program includes regular contact with Jim and specific guidance for what's going on in your life right now, along with a talking stick monthly meeting for some levels and regular phone calls ranging from 1 to 4 times a month at other levels. Jim will help you with goal setting, ritual and energetic practice ideas, teaching, suggestions, support, and accountability and whatever it is that you want to accomplish. And because it's your path, he will adapt his suggestions to suit what works best for you. It's called Spiritual Dad, but there's no age limit. We all need spiritual and emotional support. To find out more, visit jimtwosnakes.net or patreon.com/spiritualdad.
Hail Dictus.
Indeed.
I also want to say, though, that just because, like, things like telekinesis or being able to lift someone,
levitation, yeah,
things of that nature, are not proved or we can't do them, you know, like, we have never witnessed them.
Right.
That doesn't make the energy of the body or the spiritual energy that we use for magic any less powerful.
Right, yeah. No, I do not believe any claims of telekinesis or levitation I have ever seen. Just going to put that out there. Don't believe them. But no, I do still believe that the body has energy and the earth has energy and we have spiritual energy and all those things are powerful. They're just not telekinesis.
Yeah. And I agree. I've never seen that in an instance where it has been proven to me.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard anecdotal evidence. It's never been proven to me.
I don't think this is going to be this is just like a thought I had, was that the, somewhere between ley lines and energy centers is like feng shui, which is the...
Putting shit in the right place.
Yeah, it's the practice
of the home.
Yeah,
it's the practice of building and designing structures so that they are auspiciously affected by qi.
I don't know enough about that to have an opinion.
Right.
But it makes, the concept makes sense to me that... You know, that you want to be able to have a good flow of energy in a home and things not get stopped up or whatever. That makes sense to me. It's not something I've ever utilized.
No, I've never used it either.
Our house is probably all fucked up.
Probably, yeah. Well, and it's heavily dependent on an understanding of Chinese astrology.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's very complicated.
The elements and numerology. And yeah, there are a lot of
variables.
Of elements of feng shui. And there are different schools of feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest one, I think, is about 4,000 years old.
Yeah.
So it's enduring practice. But
I will say this, as someone, you know, again, who's sensitive to energy, it is meaningful. I have no idea if feng shui is in practice in a certain place or not. But it is meaningful to walk into a place and feel like everything is...
Well... laid out.
You know, I more often walk into a place and feel a negative.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but we've been in several stores where we've walked in and it was like, oh, yeah, nope, something wrong.
How much of that is, do you think, your retail experience and like having a sense of how a retail store should be laid out?
So, like, the sense of how a retail store should be laid out and all that kind of stuff is just my brain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you an automatic feeling. Like,
yeah. No. It doesn't necessarily give me a feeling. It does make me want to go fix shit. But to walk into a place and have a feeling where I'm like, I probably ought to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's something completely
different
than... Yeah. I mean, I can walk into a store that looks like shit
and
has everything the wrong way and still shop there and not have a problem.
And it feels good.
Yeah.
Like, and there are some places that just feel good to be in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a calmness. There's a peace. The overall energy of the place is a good energy. Like when we walked into this house, it was a complete mess, right? Physically, the space was a complete mess. The yard was a disaster. Everything about this space that
trash we found, everywhere.
Everything was completely trashed by the previous owners. But when I walked into the house, onto the property, I felt calm.
Mm-hmm.
I felt peace. I felt welcomed. And there was a flow, if you will, even though our house is old and it doesn't have good feng shui, I would imagine.
Probably.
But yet there was that sense of good energy. And there are places I've gone to, like you said, you walk into a store or you walk into a home or into a building.
And it's just like the vibes are rancid.
And it doesn't feel good.
It
feels sticky or it like who I think was Swan was saying that.
Sticky
maybe.
Or oily.
Sticky
yeah.
or oily and it doesn't feel right. That is sensing the energy of a place, right? Because energy is all around us. And if we're tuned into it, whether consciously or unconsciously, I think people tune into things unconsciously. They don't understand why they feel icky, you know, why it feels wrong. But their intuition is telling them
something about
this space is incorrect. Something about this space it doesn't make me feel comfortable.
Right.
And I wonder how often that's an effect of a previous tenant or a previous owner,
mm-hmm.
or someone who was there recently who left something behind.
Mm-hmm.
How often that's an effect of the spirit or spirits in the place.
Mm-hmm.
And how often that's an effect of maybe not feng shui specifically, but
mm-hmm.
just of like bad energy movement,
mm-hmm.
where things have just gotten stagnant
yeah.
for some reason, because for one reason or another, like the way things are positioned has sort of blocked the movement of energy in the space.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like I wish I knew more about feng shui, because I think it's a really interesting concept. And I like the one thing that I kept from feng shui that I read a book years
mm-hmm.
ago, I think it was in high school. And it says something about having bells on your, you know, in a window
mm-hmm.
or on a porch. And that was one thing that I
that
picked
you remember
up, that I remembered. But
Elle,
I have,
the one thing Al remembers from feng shui is not putting a mirror facing the front door.
Right. Right. I don't really have mirrors in my home anymore.
Yeah. We have them in the bathroom.
In
that's
the bathroom.
About it.
That's about it.
So is that it?
Yes. Except Rhiannon Gray recommends on TikTok a person called @DearModern, who apparently covers feng shui.
Feng shui.
Oh,
yeah.
Very interesting.
So,
all right.
If you're interested in that,
yeah,
check that out on TikTok.
I think the most important thing to do is just find a book, find a podcast, find a TikTok,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. If you're interested in learning more about the energetic body, how to access your energy centers,
mm-hmm.
how to align your energy centers, to learn more about chakras, if that's something you want to learn about, just, you know, respect the culture that it comes from, the
right.
religious aspects of it. There's a whole world of energy out there
mm-hmm.
to explore, you know, connecting
and you're,
to the
you're,
earth.
You're going
to
be using it regardless.
Yeah.
So you might as well use it consciously and intentionally.
Exactly. Exactly. And for ley lines, because that's what started this
right.
whole mess, you know, I say be open to the energy of a place. If it feels sacred,
right.
if
it feels treated as sacred.
Highly energetic, if it feels like a liminal space, then treat it as such.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for this episode of Three Pagans and a Cat. You can find us just about everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can even say, Alexa, play the newest episode of Three Pagans and a Cat.
He's
and
done
I'm good.
Again.
No! Stop!
Alexa, stop!
So hopefully that did that to all of your alls as well.
Oh my God.
You can find us just about anywhere. We're on Spotify. We're on TuneIn. We're on Amazon.
We're even on Audible.
We're
on Audible, yeah.
Yep. So,
yep. We're everywhere.
Yep, we're everywhere. And then
all
you
the
can
stuff
find,
where you can listen to things.
You can find Gwen writing stuff on Patheos, Three Pagans and a Cat page.
Mm-hmm.
And
as Swan says, we are on Google.
We are. Yes,
yep,
you can
yep.
Google us.
And don't forget, we are, once a month, we're doing Three Pagans to Eat, plus
yep.
Jackson.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Plus or minus Jackson.
Plus or minus Jackson on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have something coming up for July. We haven't picked one
we
yet.
We haven't picked one yet.
So I already had
one.
A...
Is it the one from last night?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
So. Ode and I work together, so
uh-huh,
that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
We have these secret conversations at the bar.
Yeah.
And also, if you remember to share the podcast with your friends,
mm-hmm.
with people you think might be interested, and Patreon.
Yes.
Yes, we have that. And then you
Please.
Get to hear us read your name.
That's right. Usually badly.
I think I did fairly decent.
You did pretty
time.
Good this
yeah.
time, yeah.
yeah.
Except
yeah.
for Schwan.
I love that.
Sorry, Schwan. And to end this episode, all I want to do is go, I want to know what you're thinking. There's
yeah.
some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind. Pure energy.
Nice.